2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you have your Bibles with you. And again, I would encourage you to bring your scratchy Bible with you. In other words, the one that you can underline, and if you can do that online in that Bible, that's also good. Great. One of the things that we felt was really significant, there were a number of things. So when Kevin and Nicole come in, or any other apostolic team, we have Rob and Alette coming in later this year. There's a possibility of Dave and Kath, another couple who are up in Cyprus, coming through as well. When somebody like that comes through, there are some that will come as guest speakers, and we'll tell you who they are. And we'll invite them as guest speakers. As guest speakers, we're really wanting to hear the word and to grow in the word. But when an apostolic couple comes in, like Kevin and Nicole, as a leadership, we're busy looking for a couple of things. The first one is we're looking for renovations. In other words, what are the things that need to change? And most often, it's to say, well done, you're doing really well in this area, but you need to dig your foundations a little deeper. And finances is one of those where Kevin spoke to us about finances and said, guys, you're doing really, really well. Your foundations are right, but we will only encourage you to go a bit deeper with those foundations because God's calling you to build higher. And I'll go there in a little while. The other part is he'll say, you perhaps need to lay new foundations because there's an extension that needs to be built. In other words, you need to expand what you're busy doing and in your thinking. And so we're looking at what those issues are. And then thirdly is you need to look at the timeline. So we could look at it and say, well, we're going to build in the next 10 years. We may have a little room on. And sometimes the apostolic will come back and say, oh, you may want to rethink that 10-year plan and bring it in. Maybe God's wanting you to do it in a year. So those are the three things generally that we're listening for as they're busy speaking in the coffees we have and discussions we have and leadership training. Also, obviously, as I've told you before, it's a huge time, especially for Sharon and myself, is that there's a huge time of reflection. They will tell us things about the church and about our own lives and say, we see and we hear, and when you speak, we hear you constantly saying these things. Is that really what you believe? Are you doing those things? How's your marriage going? How are your finances? What are the things that are busy happening in the life of the church? They look at our finances as a church and say, it's great. Have you thought about doing this and this and this? So those are really good reflection times, and it's great to have somebody like that. And remember that we don't report to them. We have no relationship with Doha Fellowship or with Kevin and Nicole other than by friends. In other words, is that by choice as an eldership, we choose to relate to them and invite them in to come and do that in the life of the church. And we're quite upfront about that. One of the key messages that I felt Kevin had given that was for the life of our church, and I want to run with that a bit this morning, is the whole thing that he preached last Sunday when he spoke about sowing and reaping. And as he was speaking that word, I felt as though God was taking some of the things he was busy saying and magnifying it and then saying, now in that magnification, let me just take you a little further in some of the thinking and some of the things we need to be doing. And so this morning I want to run with that a little, if I may. Kev used all three of these scriptures and I want to use them again this morning. The first one is the Genesis 8:22, and you don't need to go there, but you'd remember the story of Noah. Noah comes out of the ark, and he starts speaking to God. He's doing sacrifices, and God speaks to him, and out of that comes this verse in Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And when Kevin read that scripture, the thing that jumped out at me was, I expect cold and heat to happen. I expect it. I expect that at this time of the year, it's going to get cold. And I expect that by December this year, it's going to get hot. It's just like, it's a given, you know, this is just done. I also expect that summer and winter are going to come. is that we know when, you know, it's autumn. I don't need to look at the trees and see leaves falling off to know that that's autumn. I know that autumn's coming. I know when it's winter. I know when it's spring, and I know when it's summer. I also know about day and night. I know that at work, I will leave work and drive home and can still make it to the beach and have a swim during summer. During winter, it's pitch black dark by the time I leave the office. I know this, and you do too. And yet, I don't know that I always know about seed time and harvest. And I started to think, why is it that I don't know about seed time and harvest? And that's where I want to go this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 is Paul's busy speaking about really a sinful kind of practice, this thing that happens in our flesh. But he says this: do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. In other words, it's a given. We're not going to debate the point. A man reaps what he sows, and God is not mocked. In other words, what he says is you cannot sow things and then say, it's going to turn out differently. It's like, no, God's not mocked. He saw what you sowed, and he is the one who brings it to harvest. And so Paul's busy saying, God's not stupid. He saw the sowing, and he's going to help you to produce what's going to come out of that. And so then he says, whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, and whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And we're going to talk a little about that eternal life just now. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, hopefully you found 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and Paul is busy speaking here to the church about finances, but I want to run that a little broader than finances this morning. Let's read from verse 6, if you have your Bibles. From verse 6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's like, why is he even saying that? We know that. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you reap generously. We know that. Then he says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, now this is the verse, if you want to underline, verse 8, here's a great verse. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Why does he give you all things at all times, having all that you need? Why does he do that? So that you can abound in good works. But you say, I want to abound in good works. Good. Start doing the good works, and this is what happens. Then it says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. And this is the part that puzzled me, because as Kev read it, I just thought, what on earth is that? Here, their righteousness endures forever. So how on earth does giving relate to righteousness? Because this we know is that our righteousness is because he died on a cross, and because he bought our salvation, not because of anything we've done. In other words, he died, and whether I try or I don't try, work or don't work, it does not earn me salvation. So how then does he say your righteousness endures forever because of works? And I believe, as I've read and read and read and read and read and read on this issue, is that our salvation produces in us a desire to respond appropriately. And that appropriate response is, I'm going to do good works for the King. And the good works for the King is the outworking of His righteousness through us that starts to manifest in the things that we do. So, His salvation produces in us the good works, and the good works is the outworking of His righteousness ongoing forever and ever and ever and even into eternity. Now, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Could I make 5 points on this bit of scripture? Number one, our focus as a church has been on plowing until now, and I think it's time for us to kick in with seed. It's time for us to start sowing. I think it's appropriate that we were plowing. As a church, we needed to do that. We needed to plow our own hearts. We needed to plow into the area. We needed to plow and understand what it is that was in this ground. We needed to get the ground and the soil ready. But I think it's time for us now to kick over into seed time. And I think seed time has just broken. For us, we're going to need to be a prophetic people and be able to look into the future, because seed planters need to be able to look and see what's down the road. Plowing needs to be according to the soil and according to the seed. And one of the reasons we call this church Cross Culture was we said it would be where the cross and the culture of the day intersect. That was one of the reasons. And for us, we need to be reading the times and say, what is it in this time that is desperately needed? And in this time, because this is the desperate need of our culture and our society, we're going to need to plant the following seed. And as a church, we're going to be talking a lot about that. It's always a good time to sow. But we need to sow according to what the right season is and need read that correctly. Can I say that for us, there are reluctant and cheerful sowers. That's what we've just read. There are reluctant and cheerful sowers. Both of them sow. Only one makes God happy, and that's the cheerful giver. And I think we need to make some choices. Sowing is linked to good works, which is linked to righteousness, which is linked to our faith. Could I just draw that quickly? Our good works, as I said, Jesus dies on the cross and purchases our righteousness. Our righteousness produces good works. Our good works tells us that it's linked to our righteousness, and that ultimately is linked to our faith. So in terms of faith, faith determines our perception of God. So let me use Andre as an example, and you're going to forgive me for doing this. For Andre, if you ask me, what is my perception of Andre? Andre is a trustworthy guy. I trust him. I would trust him with my finances. I would trust him with my home. I would trust him with my car. I would trust him with everything that I have. I would also trust him on a number of issues that are really personal to me. If I had a personal problem, this is the guy I'm going to call, because I trust him. And I'm not just using that as some frivolous example. That's genuine. Okay, I trust him. Because of that perception that I have of him, I actually do that. I actually live out. In other words, that's not just a lip service. When I'm busy thinking and wrestling through something, this is one of the guys I want to go to breakfast with and say, I'm struggling in this area. Speak to me. What do you see and what do you hear when I speak to you? If I'm needing help on something, this is the guy I call. Now, there are other guys as well, but I'm using this as an... Why? Because of my perception of who Andre is. In the same way, our works, the things that we do, I've just told you about the works that we do, is according to the perception we have of God. And faith is that perception. In other words, how do I view God? And the Bible says that's why we need to read it and read it and read it and read it. And when we've finished reading it, read it some more. And the reason is because we start to understand who He is. And we start to understand more and more about His character and His personality. And His track record is immaculate. And so when we start to understand, and that dominates our view, all of a sudden what happens is we start to respond with that and say, not only do I trust You, but good works flow out of who I see. And so I want to encourage that we are readers of the Word, that we are sowers. So, can I just give you a couple, let me go back to my main point. Our focus has been on plowing, it's now time to sow. So one of the things that we started to talk about was, on Mother's Day, we usually give a little gift to mums. It may be a flower as you walk in. I'm trying to remember anything else we've done in years past. But we're giving you a little pot plant or a chocolate or something as you walked in the door. This year, we thought about it and said, no, let's respond to this word appropriately. How do we respond to it? Instead of us giving it to you, and I think that's a worthwhile cause, in other words, that we honor mums, because we do want to honor you for the incredible influence that you have in the life of the church. But let's start to sow somewhere else. And so we contacted Barry and said, could we sow into the mums in Thailand? And he said, yeah, absolutely. The only problem is our Mother's Day is the 12th of August. And so it's still a bit of time to come. And he said, on top of that is the Queen is on her last legs. And if the Queen dies, that's going to become the new Mother's Day. Well, so that's good, you know, so we don't quite know. But at the moment, we think it's the 12th of August, and we're going to prep for that. And so as a church, what we're going to do is we're going to do our homework, and we are going to bless those mums. And if we need to, we're going to take extra luggage from here when we go in July so that we can blow their socks off. Why? Because we want to have an influence on mums who are influencing all over the world. We want to sow seed. Why? Because we want a rich harvest in this church of mums of influence who are going to come from all over the city. Let's sow, and let's sow well. We're also going to start to look as a church a little broader. And this is one of the things that Kevin spoke to us about our foundations. So he looked at it and he said, your finances are absolutely outstanding. I'd encourage you to tell your people to give. And I went, you've just contradicted yourself. You told us our finances are outstanding. Now you're telling me I must go and say to the people, give more. And he said, Mark, what is it that you want to do? Do you want to be a secure church? Then you're fine, just the way you are. But what you're telling me is we want to have influence in church plants all over the world. If you're wanting to do that, you're going to have to be a generous church. And to be an exceptionally generous church, you're going to have to dig a little deeper. Because right now, you're able to fulfill and meet your own needs. But you're wanting to expand that. So here's the deal. There's a church in Nepal, 200 people. They have a pastor and his wife. So some of you know the story if you went to Doha. This little guy was a laborer in Doha. And he came along to the church because he heard that they gave lunch on a Friday, because they have church on a Friday. He heard that they have lunch there. So that's why he came, for lunch. He heard the gospel, gave his life to Jesus, turns around radically, gets on fire for God, becomes a deacon in the church, and then goes back after his contract has expired and plants a church. They almost kill him in the village. He's the only Christian in the village, okay? They call him out publicly and humiliate him and tell him to stop doing what he's doing. And he says, I cannot. There is no way that I can stop doing. God has called me. And he preaches to his wife. His wife gets saved. And the two of them are on fire for Jesus and start this church. The people have never heard of the gospel before. They've never even heard that there is a Christianity. And slowly but surely, things start to happen. And now they run a church in a little village of 200 people that come almost every single night of the week because they love Jesus passionately and are praying for revival in their nation. They do not have 2 cents to rub together. They can't pay him. They can't pay for them to be. He has to work to be able to keep the church going. I want to trust that we're going to be able to invest in churches like that. There's a church in India. And I could tell you stories upon stories of the churches in India. India is going through revival. And I trust God that we're going to see great stories. For us as a church, we want to be investing. We want to be sowing and seeing fruit coming all over the world because of the way that God has blessed us. Number two is we need to predict our harvest and sow accordingly. We need to predict our harvest and sow accordingly. Our lack of sowing is often because we have no harvest expectations. In other words, we don't sow anything because we don't know what harvest we want. Our leaders need to be treating you according to the harvest expectations, not according to the seed in your hand. And sometimes we overdo the sovereignty of God because we just leave it up to chance and we just hope that there will be seed in the ground and that there'll be some harvest that comes and somehow God's going to work it all out. I think for us as a church and for us as individuals, we also need to be making the choice between agricultural investment and Wall Street brokers. What am I speaking about? Wall Street brokers are looking for a quick turnaround. In other words, we want to invest now and then tomorrow we want to take our stock out and we want to be able to make money. We want quick turnaround. And I think in the church we've fallen into the Wall Street mentality. In other words, we want quick turnaround. Jesus, I want to pray now and then an hour later I want to see the result. Yes, that's my God. But what we start to do is we start to turn God into a Wall Street broker rather than into an agricultural investor. God says his way is we sow and then we wait and we water and we wait and we water and then we have a harvest and it comes in his time, not in ours. We need to rise to a greater call as a church as we truly bless the nations. I thought we were an incredibly generous church. And then Kevin started to tell me what their finances are and what they're busy sowing into the nations at the moment. I want to tell you, it is ridiculous. And you say to me, yeah, but Mark, they're a very, very wealthy nation, a very wealthy church. People in the nation don't pay tax. Yeah. I hear all of that. We started to do the maths on what they're busy doing. I want to tell you that in their church, they are either incredibly big givers or everyone is giving way more than their tithe. Way more. And you say, oh, now you're trying to... No, please don't feel as though I'm trying... I'm going to put pressure on you to give more. This is a thing of investment. In other words, what do we want to sow so that we can start to change the world that we live in? Let me talk a little about this, that harvest and the seed that we need to sow. For us, one of the questions that Sharon and I are asking is, what is the harvest that you're looking for? What is the harvest that you're looking for? And according to the harvest, let's start to talk to you about sowing. So I'm going to use Jubes and Christy, and I trust that they're going to be okay with this. I haven't checked this with them. Too late if they aren't. Jubes and Christy came and sat with Sharon and myself and said, we would love to go to Thailand. We believe that God has called us and there is a time when we're going to go to Thailand. It's probably another 18 months still to go, but we'd like to prepare ourselves now for Thailand. And so we said, that's fantastic. We're very, very excited about that. Okay, now we're changing. Because if that is the harvest that you're wanting and you're trusting for souls in Thailand and to make a significant impact, we need to be sowing some seed here. And some of that seed is you need to be faithful in your Bible reading. You need to be faithful in your prayer. You need to be faithful in your speaking. You need to be faithful in sowing seed into Thailand. You need to start trusting God for breakthrough. You need to learn to speak Thai. They said, we're not so sure about Thailand. No, they didn't say that. But they said, okay, how much Thai do we need to learn? I said, what do you want to do in Thailand? And they said, we want to lead people to Jesus. And I said, seed you need to sow, you need to be able to lead somebody to Jesus in Thai before you can go. So my question to you this morning is, what is the harvest? What is this thing that you're busy trusting for? You say, well, mine's not Thailand. Oh, that's absolutely fine. What is your harvest? What is it that you're trusting for here? I had a chat to somebody in the church last week, and we were talking about seed time and harvest. And they said, I'm standing and waiting for the seed to arrive. When is the seed coming? And I said, I think the seed's in your hand. I think it's already there. But I think you aren't sowing because you don't know what the harvest is. You've got to get over here and say, this is the kind of harvest that I want. This is what it looks like. I want this. Then that's what we need to be sowing. Number three, sowing and harvest are linked. Sowing and harvest are linked. If you sow here, the Bible says you're going to reap there. And it's linked by feeding and watering, feeding and watering. The quantity and the quality that we sow here is going to determine what's going to come out on the other side and what we're going to reap. Some are going to be market gardens and some are going to be large-scale farmers. But the sowing is going to be linked to the harvest. My sister is married to a farmer, and they farm in outback, And the husband's been farming all his life. That's all he knows. Finished school, went to agricultural college, came back to the family farm, and he's been farming all his life. Married my sister, and my sister's little city slicker arrives on the farm. She was qualified as a teacher, so taught for a number of years, and about 5 years ago, she gave up teaching and said, it's too demanding. She's going to go be on the farm. So the first couple of years, she started to buy and sell cattle and did really, really well. And then she said, no, I want stuff in the ground. I want to see it grow, and I want it to come out the other side. And so she sows, and she sows, and she plows and sows, plows and sows, plows and sows. And then this stuff comes up, and she is so ecstatically excited, she wants to do backflips. It's like, yeah, look at the stuff that's grown. But you know what? That stuff doesn't always go well. And sometimes things are hard. So I phoned her a little while ago. I said, how's it going, sis? She said, we've just had a real blow. She said, I sowed cauliflower. She said, I had 40,000 head of cauliflower. And she said, we had a hailstorm. And I've lost everything. I've lost all 40,000 head. And she said, right now we've got labor in the fields and we're busy clearing out and loading it and it's going for sheep feed. She said, it's totally lost. It's tough going. Farming is tough going. It's tough going. But this she knows is that if she wants 40,000 head of cauliflower to come up on the other side, she knows what she has to plant. And she knows according to the quality of the seed what's going to come out the other side. And she knows what that soil needs to look like. And she does soil analysis and checks exactly and keeps feeding and 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 cauliflower comes. I want to say, what is it that you want? Are you hoping for cabbage and planting cauliflower seed? Or is it that we're hoping for cabbage and we're standing here and saying, I'm not quite sure what I have to plant? Number four, we must guard against becoming weary farmers. Guard against becoming weary farmers. I'm just amazed at Barry and Liz who wake up morning after morning after morning. If you've been to Thailand, I want to tell you after 10 days, you're thinking, take me home, Jesus. This is tough going. And 5 years on, they are there plowing constantly, sowing seed, trusting God. We're looking for this harvest that's going to come. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. As long as it's called today, let's encourage one another in the sowing and keep it going. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. And then number 5, we need to remember the one who modeled sowing. The one who modeled sowing for us. The Father sows His very own Son, the very best that He has, the only that He has, and sows it as a seed. Galatians chapter 3, 16, you know it well. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say to and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. And that seed was sown so that you and I would have our trajectory changed from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Let me give some practical examples and then we're going to draw to a close. What is my seed? What is my seed? Could I recommend that that is the wrong question? The right question is perhaps what is the harvest and what is the harvest that I want? Let me give you a couple. If we're wanting a harvest of friendship and we're saying, I want to have heaps of friends, I'm lonely. And I don't like being lonely. I want a lot of friends. The Bible says, show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly and you will have many friends. I want to say, if you're lonely, if you don't have many friends and you want to have more, show yourself friendly. Go out and be friends with every single person you can find. Connect and be community like you've never been before. What about children? What about children? And you know what? I don't want you to feel sorry for me on this thing, but there's some things I've learned, and I trust you're not going to make the same mistake. With my kids, I encouraged them, and I spoke well over them, and I loved them with everything that I had, and I tried everything that I knew, but one of the things I didn't do well was to invest enough of the seed of the Word of God in their lives, and the harvest has not been good. And I want to encourage you, take your kids and sit down with them and different times invest, write a scripture and leave it on the bed, wherever you can, have scriptures pasted up, speak the word of God and sow the seed, get it into their hearts. What about spiritual growth and gifts and ministry? You say, I would love to have spiritual gifts and ministry. I would like to be ministering perhaps all over the world. I want to encourage you. Come every single meeting. Be prepared. Some of you know Ian McKellar. Ian McKellar is just a wonderful, wonderful teacher. He's in Singapore now, and I trust we're going to be able to get him here to come and spend a week with us. Ian is an incredible teacher of the Word. Incredible teacher. Ian McKellar, for as long as I can remember, has read one book every single month. One book every single month of his life. You say, what's great about that? This is what's great about it. Ian McKellar is totally dyslexic. Totally. And so what he does is he has to read it one word at a time with his finger to be able to get through it. Ian McKellar was in a church where he was the associate pastor. And for, I think it was 12 years, I stand to be corrected on that, so please don't quote me. But as far as I can remember, it was 12 years. Ian McKellar prepared a message every single Sunday. Never preached once. Every single Sunday, he'd prepare the message and he would arrive just in case he got asked. Just in case. Go back. Prepare my message Sunday, and he'd come. I'm ready. And 12 years later, they said to him, Ian McKellar, you're the guy. We're busy leaving. Please take over the church. Ian McKellar had 12 years of messages pent up, ready to release on the church. Because he sowed and he sowed and he sowed and he sowed. And 12 years later, the harvest came back, and Ian is in demand and flies all over the world, because once that harvest came, it didn't stop, and it came and it came and it came and it came, and it's still coming because of the sowing that happened. What about our jobs? What about our jobs? What are the things that we're needing to sow so that we can reap that? And you say, yeah, but I've sown things and I've seen no return. 12 years. Could I encourage you, sow and sow and sow and sow and sow, and don't grow weary in well-doing, trusting God for that to come. I often laugh at Sharon. But when Sharon and I got married, Sharon said, I am going to love your mom. I am going to love your mom and love your mom and love your mom. And I went, okay. Why do you want to love her so much? And she said, because I'm going to have daughters-in-law one day. And I want to sow seed now to have great daughters-in-law. And I want to tell you, Sharon has loved my mom. She phones her once a fortnight and spends an hour with her on the phone till this day. She started it the week we got married. She loves her. She's cared for her. She's served her with everything she has. And she has treated her like her own mom. I want to tell you, my boys have girlfriends. Guess what they're doing? They love Sharon. They think she's the best thing since sliced bread. Both of them want to be cuddled and hugged by her all the time. What are you sowing that you want? What is this harvest you want? Let me close with this one. What about praise and worship? You say, Mark, I want to be saturated by God. I want to be filled by Him. I want His love and His anointing to be all over me. Come into worship. No. Can I encourage you? You need to be up here next to me saying, I want that harvest. I want that harvest. Jesus! I want to make the most of you. I want to stand in the front where I'm not going to be distracted. That's why I stand up here. Do you think I like standing up here? I don't want to be distracted. I want to be seeing the King. I want to meet with Him. I want to be sowing seed and seed and seed. Because you know what? On Monday I have to go to work. As do you. And at work, guess what's waiting for me in the parking lot when I arrive? Some complainer. And that's when I'm going to have something in the tank to be able to say, the King is King. His name is greater. You know what? Complain all you like. I want to say to you, there is a name that's higher than that complaint. It's in my bones. And it's in my bones because I've sown seed, because I know the harvest that I want. Can I encourage you? Praise and worship. I love it. I hear, I don't look around, but I hear that there's some that go and stand at the back, some that even go into the foyer and dance before Jesus and break out into their own happy dance. Guess what they're busy doing? They're super cool on Monday. And they're still cool on Wednesday. And they're still cool on Saturday, but Sunday they're running back. Woo-hoo! What seed are we busy sowing? But could I ask you, the question is not what seed should I be sowing, but what harvest do I want? Could I encourage you? This is my closing words. When you go home today, could you take a couple of minutes and write down what harvest you want? Say, I want this harvest. What is the seed? Where's the seed? And could I suggest to you that seed is already in our hands. It's already in our hands. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to pray that we become sowers. But Lord, even more than that, I pray that you help us to become prophetic people who are able to see the harvest that you're calling for. Today, as we pray for mums, I want to thank you for the incredible influence that mums have had and the return that they've had, the rich return and harvest. I want to pray in exactly the same ways as mums have invested in children. I pray that we're going to be sowing seed in different areas of our lives according to the harvest that we're trusting for and expecting. And then, Lord, I pray that our faith is going to grow because of our perception of who you are. That we'd spend time knowing our God. I pray, Lord, for every person here who's had crop failure, where hail has come, and despite the fact that they've sown, crop failure has come. I want to pray for strength and stamina, just as Leanne had, to be able to clear that field and plow it and sow again. I pray, Lord Jesus, that those who have had crop failure would be encouraged today to go back and plant seed again. Lord, for those that have been burnt and hurt in churches, and even in this church, by things that have been said and have been done, I pray that we'd set relationships right, plowing the ground, and that we'd sow seed again and trust you for harvest to come. And I pray all of this because you're a mighty, magnificent God who promised this right to Noah. Seed time and harvest will never end. And we take you at your word in Jesus' name. Amen.